And welcome to the Deep Dive Radio Show. As always, I'm your host, Nick Espinoza, and we're going to be talking about all things cybersecurity, cyber warfare, and technology related. And I think we're one of the only ones out there that's doing that right now. If you'd like to be part of the radio show in any way, shape, or form, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can send us an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. We have an action-packed show as always. There's always a lot to cover, so stick around with us as we deep dive into a topic and we catch up on everything else. So without further ado, let's begin. And we've got a great show for you today. We're going to talk a little bit about the news. We're going to dive into a topic that I think everybody is really going to enjoy. It is called Protecting Our Future. I'm going to be talking about kids keeping safe online, their use of social media, some psychological studies, some shocking statistics. It was really, really fascinating when I put all of this together for you guys. I think you're really going to enjoy it. And stick around for that. Bear with me a little bit. I think I'm a little bit under the weather today, but you know, we're going to rock and roll for the next hour. And as always, we're going to start with the news. In voting news, this is very interesting. Now, if you're not familiar with an annual conference called DEF CON, you should be. DEF CON is basically once a year in the United States that brings together a lot of the top tier hackers that either show new methods and methodology for breaking existing products, or they have hacking competitions. Now, one of the hacking competitions this year was voting booth machines. So a computerized voting booth. You go in, you tap the candidate you want, you submit your vote, all of that. The goal of this hacking competition is to see how effectively and quickly hackers can break into a voting machine. And if you are guessing as to how long it took a hacker to break in, was it 10 seconds? Was it 3 weeks? Was it, you know, what was it? It took hackers 2 hours to successfully fully infiltrate a voting machine to do things like change vote totals, shut it down, make it play Pac-Man, whatever they wanted to do with it, they were able to get in. And this is a serious issue. And one of the things that I had talked about previously on the radio and on some of my daily videos is the fact that one of the largest voting booth suppliers is a company called ESNS out of Nebraska for U.S. elections, for computerized voting. They actually built in backdoor access so they could remotely access the voting machines over the internet using a product called PC Anywhere, which, quite frankly, I didn't realize existed anymore. That was something that I used to use, I want to say, like 20 years ago. And I'm not saying that it's a 20-year-old product. I mean, it might be brand new. It just kind of fell off the radar for a lot of people. But the mere fact that they put these voting, they put this on the voting booths, which means the voting booths are exposed to the internet so they can remote control them. I'm assuming for patching purposes, for legitimate reasons, not because ESNS is going to go change vote totals. I'm not saying that, but for remote management, it makes it easier. But the problem is that that actually opens up a potential surface area for attack that a hacker can break in. And so that's a serious problem. So with hackers breaking voting booths in less than 2 hours and remote access to voting booths, we have a serious issue with possible foreign state-sponsored hacking in our upcoming election, and hopefully that's not going to be the case. So that is your kind of scary voting news for the day. And in smartphone news, researchers out of Northwestern and also UC Santa Barbara, but mostly Northwestern, actually released a report. They studied over 17,000 apps and found that a good chunk of those apps, not quite the majority, but a good chunk of those apps actually, thanks to how they are developed, can take screenshots and videos of you interacting with the app or other things in your phone and then send it back to the developer or to third parties, you know, to see what you're doing with your phone. And you don't necessarily know that it's doing it, but by downloading the app and accepting the app, you've essentially opted into this. And it's a serious issue because obviously, that's you don't necessarily think you're being tracked, but for them to take screenshots of what you're doing or actually live recorded video of you interacting with your phone and then sending it back to developers is a serious, serious problem. And these researchers out of Northeastern and UC Santa Barbara were looking at Android phones in particular and found a whole bunch of Android phones out there. And this is what the report publishes on. But don't worry, Apple people, you're also included in this in the sense that they are now moving on to phase two of their research, which is the exact same research, but on the Apple side. And one of the researchers out of Northeastern has already said that they are starting to see very similar results and suspect the same amount of malfeasance on the Apple side as they're seeing on the Android side, because developers are actually taking advantage of the permissions. And so when you download download a lot of apps, they need permissions for your storage or your camera or your microphone or, you know, stuff like that. And so they are basically abusing the privilege, abusing the permission by being able to turn on the camera, microphone, or record as they see fit when the app is running, even if it's in the background. And that's a serious, serious privacy issue that a lot of us have right now. And so if you're on Android or you're on iPhone, you have to take heed of this. And I would make sure that you limit your apps to those apps that you really use, not to mention the fact I would try to use apps from, you know, very reputable developers and makers. Now, that's not to say that, you know, the reputable makers out there aren't doing this as well, but I think statistically you have a better chance of them responding to this if there's any kind of backlash, or a chance that they're not doing this or abusing that privilege, because that's serious reputation damage, especially to big developers. But the smaller ones, who knows? And you're obviously on the smaller side too, you're going to get reputable people, you're going to get trustworthy people as well, but we simply don't know if this is doing it. And so when you are getting a new app, please be aware of this. Also, on the Android side, you can go very granular with permissions. So you can deny permissions in the settings to the app for your camera or storage, although sometimes that may limit the functionality of the app depending on what that app does for you. So just keep heed, but your apps could be taking screenshots and recording what you're doing, sending it back to third parties and God knows where. So keep that in mind as you're downloading. And in state-sponsored hacking news, a lot of U.S. state and local government agencies have been reporting that they've been receiving suspicious letters in mail, like not email, but actual snail mail, that has a CD with it. And it's this, like, it's a letter that's written mostly in English, kind of broken English, with some Chinese characters mixed in. And I think you know where I'm going with this now. And also a CD. Now, if you pop in the CD into your machine, it automatically fires up a zero-day infection, a malware that is going to get into your machine and start recording and remote access and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's basically been traced back to state-sponsored hacking by China. And so for as much as we talk about Russian hacking and all of that, we can't forget China, who is stepping up surveillance on their own people, who has an excellent advanced persistent threat cyber warfare division from the People's Liberation Army. I mean, they are excellent hackers. And even though this may be a poor attempt at all of this, I hope no government agencies, out of curiosity, pop that CD in. Because that's obviously a serious issue. So we have to make sure that we are aware of what we're getting and all of that. And gone are the days when we can walk into a 7-Eleven and, you know, get free AOL CDs and, you know, and floppy disks and stuff like that. I mean, you know, we shouldn't really be getting CDs from anybody anymore. And if we're getting them, I would find them highly, highly suspicious. So that is your Chinese state-sponsored hacking news for the day. And hopefully nobody fell for this rather poor attempt at breaking into government machines. And in financial news, hackers hit a Virginia bank, like a regional Virginia bank called the National Bank of Blacksburg. Now, hackers were able to basically infiltrate the network and hijack $2.4 million in cash out of ATM machines. And what makes this interesting, actually, is that the bank is actually suing its cyber insurance company for not fully backing the heist. So I guess apparently what ended up happening is hackers infiltrated and stole the money. And so if you are a member of the National Bank of Blacksburg, your money is safe because you have FDIC insurance. You know, it's not your fault your money got stolen. And so the federal government will back you up. But what does the bank do? The bank has to get cyber liability insurance like corporations and like now a lot of us are getting in our own personal lives, which obviously I recommend. And what ends up happening is their coverage, the insurance company that covers them, is not fully paying the bill for this. And I'm sure there's a scorecard or problems and all of that when you're signing up for cyber insurance, especially as, especially as an organization, you have to fill out quite a lot of paperwork that tells all of them what your defensive technology is, what your policies, your practices, and all of that. The insurance company will then rank you, score you, and pretty much give you a rate that is based on how much or how little defense you have. Obviously, if you have less defense or inadequate defense, and hopefully a bank would never be in that position, your insurance is going to be higher. And so I'm wondering if in a situation like this, and what I've read, it doesn't say, if the bank signed off on things or told the insurance company that it had specific protections, it did not. Because basically, if they lie on their insurance forms, insurance is off the hook for covering that. And so obviously when you're talking about millions of dollars to a regional bank, it's probably in their best interests to sue the bank, sue the insurance company rather, to see if they can actually recoup that money, because their lawyer bill would obviously be cheaper than the money they'd be out. So that is your cyber heist news of the day, and hopefully all of our banks are running top tier infrastructure. You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And in iPhone hacking news, this is actually from a few weeks ago. There was a report in India that 13 people, members of their government, had their iPhones hacked and remotely managed through what's called an MDM software, or mobile device management software. Now, MDM is usually legitimately used by organizations to control mobile workforces, to push out apps, to protect from apps, you know, that you don't want installed, and to enforce good policies like encryption, all of that. But MDM, if hijacked, or MDM, if used on an unsuspecting device, can be used to do all these things, to insert malicious apps into the phone, you know, or to capture data or locations and all that kind of stuff you don't want. And so originally, this was targeting 13 individuals in India, high government officials usually, and it's actually starting to spread. And so what researchers are finding is that this is a lot wider and a lot deeper, which means hackers have found a very easy way to be able to hijack an iPhone, providing they can quickly get access to the iPhone to install the mobile device management software on it in some way, shape, or form. Now, this could be a phishing website where you go and you download the MDM or mobile device management software, or if somebody's able to get access to your phone for a minute or two, they can install it through the App Store and all of that. But this underscores the need for better defense of you know, iPhone products. And I've always had issues, and you guys have heard it on this radio show and on my daily videos, and if you've ever seen me talk live on stage, I talk about this. We do not have every defensive utility for iPhones and iPads like we do for Android or Windows or even MacBook. We just can't install virus scanners and firewalls above and beyond whatever Apple decides to give us by default, which has been proven ineffective time and again. So the CIA broke in through their sandboxing system in 2017. And when they rolled it out in 2015, there was a hacker that was able to get through with a product called Exo Shell and all of that. And so we're kind of stuck. But if you have an iPhone, make sure you're going to legitimate sites. Make sure you're not allowing people you don't know to use it, because they could be installing mobile device management software, in which case they're capturing everything and inserting bad apps into your phone. And in election news, Microsoft actually has a cybersecurity team. Now, Microsoft's cybersecurity team obviously does various things, but one of the things that they are tasked to do is to find sites that are ripping off Microsoft, aka phishing scams. So if a hacker wants to get your email and password, or your username and password to your email, for example, they might put up a fake Office 365 portal, send you some kind of spear phishing email basically saying, hey, like, you know, your email, your password is expired, please click here to, you know, redo. And then they're capturing your username and password and then logging in. So what Microsoft found was they found a site that was doing just that. It was a portal site for you know, Microsoft Office 365. And when they started diving in and looking at the traffic coming in and out in the metadata, they discovered some interesting things. One, that all of the traffic looked like it was coming from Russia, as well as the standards and techniques look like state-sponsored Russian hacking. And two, 100% of the spear phishing campaign that was tied to the specific site was going to users in three different congressional campaigns. Basically, we're coming up on a midterm election. A lot of people are running, whether they're incumbents or challengers. And Microsoft did not disclose which three campaigns were targeted, but they definitely confirmed that the Russians were targeting three separate campaigns in a spear phishing attack with this. And they were able to shut it down and obviously alert the congressional campaigns and all that kind of stuff. But this just underscores the need for election security and the reason why we really need to be on a heightened sense of alert for any kind of malicious activity coming from anywhere, especially when it comes to voting and voting irregularities. It's a serious, serious problem. And so three congressional campaigns are now hopefully a little bit safer thanks to Microsoft. In research and development news, researchers at MIT have created something called RFPOS. Now, RFPOS, interestingly enough, is like a radar system that allows radar to penetrate walls and other solid objects to see human motion behind this. Now, this has some practical applications that are very positive. So we can monitor the elderly, for example, without having to put video cameras in the rooms to see how they're moving around. Or, in terms of first responders to disasters, we can basically use this system to look through radar or, you know, other barriers to find people that might be trapped. In terms of military, it has practical application so that we can track enemy combatants through walls without having to put anybody at risk. We can do it from distance. There's a lot of practical application of this. However, we have some other issues with this. So imagine if law enforcement or government was able to use this to basically look through everything in your house, you know, and see your motion. Or how about a burglar or a hacker that's able to do that and see that nobody is home, except let's say maybe a dog, because it'll probably track that too, but they can see when somebody's out and do this. Now, this is also coming off the heels of some lack of privacy laws that we have in the U.S. government in terms of needing a warrant. And I had talked about on a previous radio show, Location Smart, which is something that law enforcement using a service called Securus could get, and they could literally get real-time data on everybody in the United States with a smartphone without needing a warrant. Basically, the cops could know exactly where you are at any given time by logging into the service and just basically pulling up your information without a warrant. So we need some privacy laws written in here, and we're going to see what happens with RFPOS, but that is new technology that is on the forefront, and you know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm hoping there's going to be some kind of regulation on it. In an infrastructure news, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that Russian hackers, specifically a state-sponsored hacking group known as Dragonfly, they also go by Energetic Bear, and you'll see a lot of Russian hacking groups being labeled as Bear. So there's Fancy Bear and Cozy Bear, and now Energetic Bear was able to actually successfully infiltrate the U.S. electric utilities last year, which obviously is a serious problem. Now, they were, the Russian hackers, used a spear phishing campaign directed at the utilities employees. And a phishing campaign basically is trying to get somebody to go somewhere, to click a link, to log into a fake portal so that you're capturing information, etc. And the hackers were actually able to cause minor blackouts. They're claiming, quote unquote, hundreds of victims of this, which obviously is a serious, serious issue. And so when we're looking at this, this is a problem. And if they have claimed hundreds of victims, not thousands or millions of victims, then odds are what it is they are testing their methodology and establishing control, of some utilities just to make sure they can do it in preparation possibly for a significantly larger outage. Now, we've seen the Russians do this in Ukraine in 2014, which ended up knocking out 80,000 people from power when they shut the local power plant down. And then the Russians took it one step further by knocking out the phone grid so that nobody could actually pick up the phone and complain. And they basically made an entire region deaf and blind. That is a cyber warfare attack that could be, a prelude to a land invasion. And obviously the Russians are not, you know, land invading us or anything like that. But if they are able to tie up our infrastructure like this, knock it out, that can have severe economic and psychological damage in the U.S. population. So we're going to keep an eye on this. But as of right now, that is definitely something to be concerned about. And in smart home news, if you have a Samsung SmartThings hub, you really need to patch that thing ASAP. Now, researchers were able to find about 10 serious vulnerabilities in Samsung's SmartThings hub. This is basically a hub that controls IoT devices that are within the Samsung ecosystem. You can control it from your Samsung phone, all this kind of stuff. But once again, we have another underscore issue here of IoT being innovative but very exploitable, because oftentimes they're rushed to market or poorly developed and all of that. And I'm not saying Samsung poorly developed it, but when we're finding 10 or so vulnerabilities right out of the gate with this thing, that's a serious issue. And a lot of times they're trading ease of use for security. So if you're running a Samsung SmartThings hub, you need to patch that thing as fast as you can. Otherwise, somebody could probably break in and get access to your network in your house. And if you've got things like video cameras attached to this, then they can basically look in on your video cameras or monitors or, you know, anything else you're doing online. So please make sure to patch that SmartThings hub. And in Senate hacking news, it's rather interesting, but basically, Senator Claire McCaskill, she is a Democrat in a rather red state, has been targeted by Russian hackers right now to try to break into her campaign. And she is facing a rather tough uphill election battle here for the midterm elections. Again, you're a Democrat in a red state. I mean, obviously, you've really got to sway voters. And so if the Russians are trying to hack into her systems to either gather damaging information or an attempt to influence, let's say, the loss of the incumbent, which is Senator McCaskill, to whoever her Republican opponent is, then, you know, obviously that's a serious issue because it's not a fair election. She should win or lose, you know, fair and square. And so that is currently being tracked right now by several different intelligence agencies within the United States. And obviously the McCaskill campaign is aware of this as they are attempting to, you know, not only defend themselves, but obviously run their own, you know, campaign, you know, as she's probably going to be reelected or possibly not, who knows, in November. So that is your Senate hacking news of the day. But you combine that with you know, the news I just reported on previously about three congressional campaigns being targeted by the Russians. And we are starting to see from independent third party verifiable sources that the Russians are back at it in the same way that we had a ton of overwhelming evidence in 2016 that I've written on and I've talked about and on and on and on. So I'm not going to have to rehash it here. But it does go on, and Russia is definitely not innocent in this. And so hopefully we'll be able to have a fair and honest campaign. And hopefully Senator McCaskill's campaign will be hacked free, as I hope her opponent's campaign will be hack free as well. So we'll see what goes on. But it may be interesting after the election if candidates start pointing fingers saying, you know, well, this was unfair, I want a recount, or I want a re-election because of Russia or whatever. Or is this just going to fall by the wayside because we're aware and we're actually defending these networks now because our U.S. intelligence as well as cybersecurity contractors are on the scene and trying to help. So your guess is as good as mine on that one, but that's the way we're moving right now. You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And in video camera news, if you have a SWAN, that's SWANN, video camera system for your home or your business, you're going to want to update that ASAP. Now, researchers at Pentest Partners, which I believe is still out of the UK, discovered a severe security glitch in SWAN IoT video cameras that would allow hackers fairly easily remote access to your live video feeds. So you might be doing everything right, good passwords and all of that, but if they're able to hijack the actual technology that runs your video camera and get it, then they don't need your password. And so this was what was discovered, and SWAN is obviously aware of it and in the process of patching, but this kind of underscores the issue is that we have a lot of IoT devices that are kind of rushed to market. They're not developed with true cybersecurity in mind. And even products that are really developed with that, you know, they can have vulnerabilities. I mean, we are human when we code, and therefore errors can occasionally creep in. And so that underscores the second problem is that a lot of these products don't auto update themselves, you know, in that sense. And a lot of times you don't want them to, because if a bad patch gets through, then nothing works. But we need to make sure that we are patching our devices. And if we're not, then you may have this video camera that's working fine for you and you're not seeing issues. But on the back end, a hacker can get in and see what you can see or manipulate the cameras or shut them off to rob you or erase video possibly. You know, there's a whole bunch of different things that can be done when you're getting remote access to these things. So it's very, very important that you continue to patch. And so if you have a SWAN video camera system anywhere in your life, you want to make sure it's 100% up to date. And that usually means going to SWAN's website and downloading any kind of update and patch. They're going to try to make it as easy as they can for you. You just have to know that you got to do it. And so please go do it. And in mobile carrier news, if you use Verizon, Verizon is actually going to start offering you a product called Safe Wi-Fi or Safe Wi-Fi VPN. Now, what this is they're going to charge you, I think it's about $4 a month or so. But if you enable that Verizon app on your phone, it is going to kick up a VPN or virtual private network and protect you while you're using things like free Wi-Fi and all of that. And while I never ever recommend using free Wi-Fi in any situation unless you absolutely have to, like zero signal and it's an emergency kind of thing. You know, a VPN does help you on in public sites by encrypting your traffic, so it's harder to capture. So if you're connecting to a malicious public Wi-Fi you think is actually legitimate, then the VPN is going to help you helps keep you safe during that. Now, one of the issues I have with this is purely from the privacy standpoint, because if you purchase a VPN, and I have a VPN that I use, the one I use is Private Internet Access, that is not beholden to Verizon, meaning if I establish the connection to Private Internet Access, virtually anything that I'm doing through my through the VPN on my phone. So I'm going, let's say I'm going to Facebook, or I'm going to Twitter, or I'm going up to a website for news or whatever I'm doing, what's actually routing the traffic is Private Internet Access. They see, because I'm coming out of the VPN on their end, they see I'm going to Facebook or that website or Twitter or, you know, whatever I'm doing on my phone. But Verizon doesn't. They don't know what I do with that. It keeps me safe from my carrier. And so Verizon is offering, you know, $3-4 a month, you know, VPN to keep you safe while you're browsing Wi-Fi or, you know, whatever you're doing. That's great. They're going to help stop hackers and protect you from your data being captured by them. But Verizon still knows what you're doing. And, you know, given that they are a large company that has a lot of telemetry on, let's say me, for example, who, you know, uses Verizon, then that's a serious problem, because I now what I'm trying to keep private potentially from Verizon, while Verizon is turning up the safety for me against hackers, they're not necessarily helping my privacy by using them as a VPN. Now, that said, if you have no VPN and you want to make it easy and use, you know, Verizon, then by all means, go and do that. Just understand that pitfall. But I highly recommend that absolutely anybody with a mobile phone, which is pretty much anybody listening to this, runs a VPN. And the one I recommend right now, and all my product recommendations are always subject to change, but as of right now, I like Private Internet Access, and it's like 30 to 50 bucks for the year. So it's comparable in price to Verizon. And I'm also now not beholden to a major carrier that already data mines me. So that is something to think about when you're picking out your VPN. But please, everybody, get yourself a VPN, Verizon or otherwise. And stay tuned to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show as we take a quick break for a public service announcement. We'll be back right after that.